This piece was brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, heritagefoodsusa.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
Business.
According to the USDA, U.S. farms depend on 1.3 million hired farm workers. Roughly half of them are believed to be undocumented. The majority of those workers come from Mexico. We spoke to Smriti Keshari, the producer of a documentary called Food Chains. Food Chains followed a group of tomato pickers in Florida, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, who fought to improve their wages and working conditions. They protested against Taco Bell, Walmart, and other retailers. And they got 13 organizations to pay a penny per pound more for their tomatoes. During the making of the film, Smriti spent many months interviewing migrant farm workers.
With farm labor in the United States, it always looks at the next cycle of vulnerable other group of immigrants to do the hardest work. And this has been historically how it's been in this country. It's been all different communities, and there's been an influx in the last few decades of people coming from south of the border.
But first they have to get across the border. Last month, we visited a town in the state of Puebla in Mexico called La Preciosita. This is a town where at least one person in every family is working undocumented in the United States. The community of women left behind told us what their husbands and sons experienced trying to cross the border without papers.
My son left and he suffered a lot. When he crossed, he was hungry. He would sleep on the street because he couldn't find a job. And when he did find a job, it took him more than 2 years to start sending money back because he had to pay off the coyote.
Getting a job usually ensures certain things: a roof over your head, food in your belly, safe working conditions. That's not the case here. In some instances, it's only the beginning of new and unexpected hardships.
Farm workers are abused from coast to coast, and they face everything from sexual harassment to modern-day slavery. In certain places, you have workers that might be homeless, that might be living by a river. You have workers who are living in worker housing, and some of those conditions might be really adequate and might be great for a family, while others, you have, eight, nine, ten people inside a trailer. And so it definitely does vary case by case.
Immigration doesn't only take a toll on the worker. Back in Mexico, life isn't easy for the families left behind either. Women do the jobs that men would normally do. They work the land, and they raise their children alone.
He left me here with my two little children. I was the mother and the father. I had to take care of everything. And well, it's really sad to be alone with the responsibility of taking care of the children, and little children at that. It's really sad.
In poor communities like La Preciosita, there aren't many options but to leave. Jobs are scarce, and the ones that exist don't pay much.
Here in Mexico, a good job means that you work from 9 to 6 in the afternoon, and you only make 120 or 150 pesos daily. We have four kids, and to send them to school here is a lot of money. We both have to work in order to pay the school fees for our four kids.
So if you don't have enough money to put food on the table for your family, then what do? You look for work where you can.
That's why a lot of people immigrate from here, to be able to build a house. Because here in Mexico, to build a house, you need a lot of money. And if you have a job here, you can't make enough money to build a house.
Films like Food Chains highlight how a small increase in wages can make a big difference. But the system as a whole still works against farm workers.
Tomato workers in Florida, for example, earn a penny per pound for tomatoes that are picked. And if you double those wages, you're looking at double increase from earning $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 a year to doubling that to $26,000 a year. I think the increased wage allows them to have a better living conditions, to be able to use that and be able to, a lot of farm workers have children, to be able to pay for daycare, to get the basic things that, that a family needs in this country.
But most times when a man immigrates for work, he leaves his family behind. Sometimes he is able to send for his wife and children, but not always.
Sometimes the bad part is that the husbands leave, and they leave behind their wives, and when they get to the U.S., they get married again, and they forget about their homes, about their wives, about their kids. And the wife that was left behind has to take full responsibility to make sure their kids are taken care of.
For the men who do come back, they realize that much has changed since they've been away.
In my case, when my second child saw his father, he used to cry all the time. He didn't want his father to pick him up. The oldest child would say, "Get out of my house! You're not my dad. My dad is the one that calls me on the phone."
For many of these families separated by immigration and living off remittances, the house and their children's education have come at a cost, one that they confront every day.
They always tell you the good stuff, but they never tell you about all of the bad stuff that you have to go through, about everything that you must suffer through to get what you want. I have never heard an immigrant say, "You're going to have to deal with humiliation, hunger, all of that." They always say, "Yeah, living in the U.S. is the best." But when you get there, you quickly figure out that this is all a lie.
This is Amrita Gupta
and Yvette Cabrera for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thanks for listening.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more.